They can't hear us, though, right?
No, no, no. That would be bad.
Can you guys hear us?
Do you want them to?
No, I don't.
Probably not.
That's what Chick goes, you guys can listen to Mom. And I was like, no, they can't.
Now, Dean's not in there doing something with this.
No, it's just us. It's just us.
You seem paranoid, Don.
No, I just wonder. I just wonder the nuts and bolts of it. I just, you know.
I got your nuts right now. Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air. Bob Schneider at the Rathskeller, Indianapolis, July 17th. There will be a drunk on stage that looks just like me. Well, maybe not that drunk, but...
He's going to let you on stage?
No.
Hi, Jason.
Hi.
Sure he's going to let me on stage. Hi, Jess.
Hey.
You ready for another hour with me?
I want to be like Captain Kirk. Get up every day. Love to go to work.
That's Bob.
Be like Mr. Spock.
People keep tweeting me, what's your favorite Bob Schneider album? I'm going to have to go Lonely Land, The Californian, and this is from his album I'm Good Now.
I think that's my favorite.
Captain Kirk.
Yeah. This is my favorite song.
My life. Thanks for downloading the Off the Air podcast. All of a sudden, a juggernaut. Great shows the past two or three episodes. It's back firmly entrenched in the top 100 of the iTunes. The only way I can quantify this, I need some sort of, you know me, I have to, as weird as this sounds and as untangible as what I do. Hang on, we got a hair problem with
Sorry.
Jess. Hang
go
on.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's right. You Don coined that one time at the house. Mm-hmm. Best hair on the block. That's right.
That's right. Way better than Jenny on the block, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're Bob Jenkins and Ace Cosby. And, mm-hmm. and
you have such range, you know.
Oh, it's range. That's what we're known for.
Like, did you realize
truth and range.
The previous two mm-hmm. set records?
For what? For downloads?
Cuss count.
Jesse Joyce
was 85. I lost count.
Jesse, it was 85.
And Jesse the one Joyce. After that with Bob Jenkins, sweet guy.
Zero.
Well, if I think he said, we don't count damn.
We don't count damn.
Yeah. No,
but what do we count here? I'll go to Don Stuck, radio Indianapolis radio legend.
Yeah.
Now on in Shelbyville, Indiana.
Goddamn right. Is that okay?
Fucking A's right, Don.
All right.
What Shelbyville, what is it? 90?
Giant 96, 96.5. Or AM 1520 or download it on the thing.
I have the app.
You have the app?
I have the app.
Well, you know the owner of the station is beating off at this very moment.
Chick McGee's got my app.
Well, I don't know about that. That's certainly, I'm going to take that as a compliment.
It is a compliment. He'll love to hear that.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Well, it's great being there because if there's a problem, you walk out of the studio pissed off and can go into an office and talk to somebody that can actually get something done.
Oh, well, that's true.
Instead of a dude in Texas with a spreadsheet going, he makes what? Get rid of him.
Get rid of him. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay, radio. All right, that's what we're going to talk about. You and Jess have known each other,
since the day I was born.
Since she was born.
You were actually in the...
No, he was not. Stop
you
saying.
You delivered?
I was a delivery doctor.
Dr. Don Stuck, amateur gynecologist. Yeah. He was there catching baby Jess as...
We've done so many backstage examinations at Verizon that we're practically a doctor now.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I hear you on that.
Yeah. No. So, yes, we were there the day she was born. I've known her dad. Her dad used to... essentially beat me and her uncle relentlessly with whatever he could get his hands on. He was bigger and a couple of years older.
Yep, and
he was the cool older brother.
The cool older brother.
The cool car. Had the hot girlfriend.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And the bib overalls.
There's a picture of him working.
There's overalls in your family. It's in their blood. They're cousins. Their uncle. Your uncle Harold.
I wore bib overalls senior year in high school.
They're okay.
It was the coolest damn thing ever at the time.
Could we make off the air overalls?
I'm looking for a pair.
Can you get logoed, stitched?
Logoed bib overalls?
You're not doing that, Jess?
No.
You don't want to do that?
No.
You'd look good with that shirt. You look great in overalls.
That's a perfect shirt.
That's a great shirt with that hair. Oh.
Yeah, the best hair on the block and overall.
Good luck.
Okay.
Good luck.
Stanley Powerlock 2 on the side and a hammer
and your welding kit.
I've got a welding jacket and my welding hat and cap and all that. I took a class, Don.
A welding?
Yeah, because my dad didn't have time to teach me, so I went and took a class.
Yeah, your dad welded Lucas Oil Stadium, didn't he? Built it. with a blowtorch. Yeah.
Yeah. That is a true story, actually. Yeah. Yeah, he pretty much did.
But you had to take a class?
I had to take I don't have time for that, sis. Yeah, that's what he said.
Okay. All right.
So, Don, you're technically just a family friend, right?
Yeah.
Because I've always thought in my mind when she, because you kind of got her in this building.
Yes,
right?
He did.
I thought he was my uncle. He was your uncle.
It's, yeah. It transcends being friends. I mean, yeah. I've been with their, I'm at their family, everything, Thanksgiving, yeah. all this stuff since mm-hmm. I was, well, mm-hmm. it would have been the late 60s, early 70s or so.
And
since
actually,
then.
That's how Jess and I met. And I'd like to thank you and beat the hell out of you. Later. So you can take your pick either.
How about if you beat Gonzo Gregg?
Okay,
it was more his fault.
All right.
No, I got her in the building, and then suddenly she's supposed to be interning for us, and then she's down the hall more often than not, and then all of a sudden, we let it go because since she was down there a lot, it left it more reasonable for us to be down there stealing
right.
food.
Oh, that's true.
I'm looking for her.
Where is she?
Yeah, my mouth is so full of stolen Bob and Tom food. Where is that intern? Yeah. So.
Very true.
And then we moved up front, and we really took her.
Yeah, then I came, and I worked.
You were away.
You were actually on the air with them on the Big Dumb Show for a little bit, right?
Yeah, a little bit as an intern. Yeah. And then...
was it Jeff Fox? No, who was it? He just died. The great comedian.
John Fox.
John Fox came in and sat down next to Jessica, and John looks over and says, "How you doing, hon?" or whatever.
Yep,
and
she goes, here it comes.
This is on the air.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And she goes, "I saw your show last night, and I laughed my ass off." And he looks back behind her, and he goes, "I think you need to take in a couple more shows."
I have a big ass. Wow. I mean, I know that. But he said that's his joke.
He said,
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it was funny. It was hilarious.
It brought the roof down.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, it was very
funny. It was the first comedy show I'd ever seen. So
that's right.
Saw him and then was sitting next to him on a radio show the next morning.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was with Gonzo Gregg?
That was the Big Dumb Show.
Yeah, Gonzo Gregg and Bo Asner, I think, was still there, right?
He works with a girlfriend of mine now, and she's like, "That guy used to be on the radio." Yep, sure did.
Yeah, he did.
He was really cranked off. I remember specifically one morning he comes in.
He was excitable, as I recall.
He did the news. Christy did the news. Mm-hmm. He's been in the building for a year and a half and gets a morning show. And he's pissed off because he has to work Saturday. And Christy's been on doing mornings and working Saturdays for 25 years and still doing it on Saturdays, at the time.
Yeah.
And she's like, "You know what? I'd fire that fucker if I could."
As often is the case when we talk to folks from the Indianapolis radio market, people have been on the radio. The way that I met Don was you did overnights.
Yeah.
On Q95, Don Stuck in the Night is what it was called.
Yeah,
and he was there first thing in the morning when I would come in to do the Bob and Tom Show. You were there playing the music all night.
It was my favorite job in radio. And if I could still do it safely, I would still do it. Because of technology now, that can get piped in from anywhere goes. So I would still be doing it. I mean, when I started, I was doing weekends, and I finally got the weekday shift. Ace was on all night then, and it was like PTs in here. there was cheerleaders and chicks and stuff and Ace, and it was like
PTs is a local strip club.
Exactly. I don't remember that when I would come in the morning.
That's about 8 minutes away from this building. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's true. It is.
I would arrive about 11 o'clock at night, and all the good stuff was pretty much done by 4, so you could clean out all the stripper bones or whatever. Right. Get rid of all that stuff and
wipe down the surfaces,
clean off the specs, get rid of all the
Isn't
bodies.
Isn't it funny to think that you were that way, and now you're such a germaphobe that you wouldn't even think about that?
Oh, God. You know that
I had no idea. Have you become a germaphobe?
Oh, super
all my
nuclear,
life.
Yeah.
Really?
The only thing that kept it at bay was not medicine. It was fifths of whiskey. If I drink whiskey, I'll put my face in anything. If I'm sober, I don't want to touch anything. This mic's making me nervous.
That's very funny. Too.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Yeah. If I'm drinking whiskey, I'll put my face in anything. Put that on my headstone.
Oh my God!
So did you? You went to New Palestine High, the whole thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
We have a lot of ties, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The stoplight wasn't there when I was living in New Palestine. I mean, that town's big now. It has a stoplight.
It's got a stop.
Yeah. The death intersection that I like to call, I won't call it out, where you guys used to live, I believe is going to get a stoplight soon because people get killed there on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah, you told
They're widening the hallway. They're widening the hallway.
It's nonstop ambulance runs. I don't know what they're going to do with all these EMTs they have out there when they put a stoplight. There won't be anything for them to do because everyone gets killed there.
Okay.
It's all the dispatch intersection, straight to heaven or hell, whatever you've been into. That's where you go.
All right.
You climb the ladder or dive in.
So true.
Yeah.
So how did you meet Jess's family, and who was the first one that you met, probably?
Her father, David.
Okay.
He had, as we were saying, all the cool stuff.
Right.
And he had a cool bicycle. And my bicycle was not cool and always broken, and I didn't know how to work on anything. And her grandfather.
Yeah.
Harry Prosser could fix and work on anything. My bike would never work right, so I'd take it over there, and it had the wrong sprocket and all this shit. So
he lived on the street behind...
Right behind us.
Yeah, right behind my dad and his siblings. And,
So I went over with David to fix something, and there's her Uncle John, and who was, you know, probably on the roof when I met him for the first time. I mean, that's him, you know, that's his thing. Yeah. Yeah. And so I kind of got buddied up with John more than David, her dad, because
he was a little bit younger. And
close. I'm a year older than her uncle and a couple of years younger than David.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, come to find out, David's kind of a dick, and he was beating us up all the time. And so
I
buddied up. It is.
I'd like to defend David as the only... at the time, he was kind of a dick.
He's still a dick, but I still love him. I love him.
I couldn't disagree more.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If you anybody that knows him well would agree, they would say this. Yeah. He's a dick, but he's all right.
But he's all right.
Pretty
That's true.
He's okay. And he always had the, he had the F-150, America's best-selling truck, and had the big wheels on. You know? I mean, he always had the best truck.
You have an endorsement?
Well, I think it was a commercial there real quick.
So maybe I can get an invoice on that. he is an idol of mine because he rolled that truck with a bowling ball in the cab.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a man right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was a bowling ball in the cab, and he rolled the truck.
He also laid a bike down, right? I mean, a couple times.
Yeah, that's not.
Her grandfather, David's father, witnessed David driving down Emerson Avenue, standing on his motorcycle seat with his arms out like he'd been crucified.
Like Flying Jack Tindall, formerly of the Indianapolis State Trooper.
Exactly.
Or the policeman's. Yes. They have the flying. Yeah. They have the motorcycle troop there for the. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they tried to recruit my dad.
He was grounded from the bike for like a month or whatever.
At least.
Yeah.
I would think so. So how did you, how did radio become, Q95, the overnight right before the Bob and Tom Show, that wasn't your first job though, right? In radio?
No. Yeah. But it was what I wanted right off the bat. How radio came to mind was I was just a musician and I was able to step into a couple of radio stations because of doing shows, and I was watching the disc jockey run the board, and I was like, I can do that. This is retarded, you know? Oh, the R word.
No.
The R word's not good. The R word is not good anymore.
That doesn't look very hard at all, is what he meant to say.
Well, the guy's operating the board. It was like what's the movie? Wayne's World. Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. And he's moving stuff around, and I was like, I can do that.
Yeah.
So, but what got me interested in radio was the Bob and Tom Show.
Yeah.
The billboards come about 3 months before the show hit. We're doing your morning show, the Q Zoo, all this. And I was like, man, I want to do that. Once you guys hit the air, and the very first radio disc jockeys I ever met was a chance meeting at a stoplight. And it was you, Chick McGee, and Tom in a pink convertible. And I looked down and I went, hey, and you went, hey, and then you went, vroom.
Wow, I don't remember that.
No, you wouldn't.
I wouldn't have remembered that.
Yeah. It was like 87 or something.
The billboard is the reason I'm here, because I was driving through St. Louis on my way to St. Louis from Ohio with my wife at the time, and we saw the billboard with the duck feet. Mare Bear. We saw the duck feet, the flipper feet and the tutus and the tuxedo jackets. And I said, wow, that looks like a good place to work. So I sent my tape in, and I automatically got hired by the AM.
And you sent a tape.
I sent
literally
a tape.
Yes.
It was a tape.
By Pony Express.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly right.
And then you did. You were on the AM. Was Ron Jordan in the morning still there?
No.
This is old radio here.
No, Dave Conrad was on in the mornings when I got
here. Did this guy change his name depending on what time of day he was working?
Probably
Jordan in the morning.
Yeah, you know, like I did. Somebody told me not to use stuck, and I just go, Don't stuck in the night. And they go, that's not going to work. And it's worked. Don't stuck in the night, stuck in the afternoon, stuck in the morning. Everywhere I've been, it works.
Stuck in the night. Yeah. He's stuck, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. The only person that backed me on it was Marty Bender.
Marty Bender is the heart and soul of a lot of people's radio career. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did
mine included.
Yeah. Yep, I did. I was doing weekends here, and there was another weekends on Q95, the local station in Indianapolis, and I was up against other guys that were way better and more experienced than I am, but I was kept and given a regular schedule because I was the only one that had a subscription to Billboard magazine.
Oh.
It came to my mailbox, and Marty went, you got that every week? And I go, uh-huh. And he goes, okay, you got it. You got the job. And that was it.
That's funny. You're surprised how you earn. You never know how you're going to earn Marty's respect, but when you do, you've got it. You've got it.
Yeah.
And it's always something quirky and crazy like that. Yeah.
Yeah, because who has a subscription to Billboard magazine, which was $300 a year?
Just for the one-ads, really? Basically.
Oh my God.
It was really stupid expensive.
Yeah. And that was in the 1990. Yeah. So, I mean, who's spending $300? I had a lot of cocaine to buy then. And this magazine was getting in the way.
But. Well, Marty came and asked me when Mark Patrick, who was doing the sports on Bob and Tom, went to North Carolina. He came to me and he goes, do you know anything about sports? And I go, well, I'm kind of an NFL fan. Yeah. But at the time, I'd just been fired by the AM. And he goes, okay, well, why don't you do a couple shows and in the morning, go on with Bob and Tom, and I'll get back to you. And he still hasn't gotten back to me. but that's Marty.
And he's now moved north.
Yeah, he's in Chicago now. And I just got an email from him 2 or 3 days ago. And every email I end with, be on our podcast, be on our podcast.
And he won't do it.
And, well, the last email I sent, he goes, I'm thinking about it. So the door is opening.
Man, that'll probably be the most challenging interview of your life.
Yeah, probably, because I love him, and he's one of my best friends, and I've known him forever, but I respect him so much, I don't know.
But he's Marty Bender, too.
But he's Marty
Bender.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
You got to know him to understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, and Jason told me when I never really worked for Marty, just, you know, with all the little fingers and hands that are in this, but he wanted to talk to me one time. And Jason, he goes, just come here. I want to talk to you. And I wanted to go, I don't work for you. I don't want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And so Jason goes, you probably should. And I was like, okay. And he goes, but I'm going to give you one piece of advice.
Yeah.
And he said, don't fill the silence. That's his maneuver. He doesn't say anything to see what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Don't fill the silence.
You start squirming.
It was a good 8 minutes and we were both just sitting there. Like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
What do we do?
Back before call waiting or anything, if your phone would ring and you'd say hello and you'd hear silence, it was Marty.
It was Marty. Yeah.
He did that to me on cue in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah.
I was way off the format. At night, you know, I was like, throw all this junk off and start playing Judas Priest and everything else in the middle of the night.
Sure.
And so it's 3 a.m, and who's listening? So the hotline rings, which is the studio line that the people that work here know.
Yeah.
And so I answer it, and blaring in the background is the radio station. And I just sit there, hello, hello, nothing. And then finally he goes, this is Marty. That's not on the log, is it?
How you doing?
And then he found out I was doing the 4 o'clock foreplay at 4 a.m. So I was dumping a quarter of the hour that he had programmed at 4 o'clock in the morning and was playing whatever I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent me a memo and he said, you're doing a great job. The 4 o'clock foreplay a.m. version goes away immediately.
That's funny.
Knowing Marty, though, he had his alarm set, so he would call you and make you think that he was up listening
all
night.
Well, the thing is, Marty doesn't sleep, so...
Or he might have been up. You're exactly right. Yeah.
So you came full-time in the building in 90?
No. I was working weekends and whatever. Gunner and I were fighting it out for the full-time overnight weekday slot.
I'm sorry, what was that name again?
Dave Gunner.
Okay.
Yeah, my partner on X-103 for a while. He wanted it, I wanted it, and then there was some pregnant chick that had it, and we were wanting her to fall down a flight of stairs so at least one of us could get it.
Oh, wow. Geez, she fell down in the parking lot on the ice one time. Remember that?
But it wasn't that one. That's a different one? That was a different one.
I don't think she ever got pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah, that one never got pregnant. The one where the other one. There was a couple of firings around here, and sometimes they got it right, you know.
Very few times.
Yeah, very few times, but sometimes.
I'm not surprised that one never got pregnant. I'm not surprised by that.
I guess I don't know who you're talking about.
You don't?
I wouldn't know.
But anyway, she got pregnant. She went away, and she came back for a while, and she's breastfeeding the baby in the studio, and I think someone was uncomfortable, and then all of a sudden she wasn't here anymore, and then Gunner got it, but I got 3 days a week, and so it just kind of started to build.
That shit happened now. She'd own this radio station.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Yeah.
Hi. You know how many people should own this radio station?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So I might be on that list.
We ended up on Overnight Secure, which was the best, funnest radio show I ever had.
How did Gunner got it, and then you took it from him?
It was weird. It was that he ran 4 days, I ran three. Okay. So I got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which were great overnights. If you like doing overnight rock, it's great. I used to keep a record of the phone calls that I would get on full moons only, called mm-hmm. full moon phone calls, because they were mad. They were just mad. And he had weekdays, so he got factory guys. And, you know, they're great guys, factories and cops and gas station guys. And so he got all that, and I got all the nuts. And eventually he moved on up the ladder. I think you left for a while. He went to Bob and Tom's show.
Yeah.
I grabbed the overnights, right. And then I would never let go.
Yep.
And then I'm a pilot. They wanted somebody to do the morning show. They wanted somebody to be in the airplane for the Wyke and O'Brien show. It was on.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You were up in the plane for a while.
But
right?
Stuck in the plane. Is that what it was?
No, it was. Were you the
Skywanker? Skywanker. That's right.
Yeah. They wanted me to be the circle jerk, and I said no. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, that's probably.
I've had a couple of stupid radio names forced on me.
Yeah.
Skywanker, I didn't mind so much. Nah. When I was at ZPL for a second, they go, "You got to have a name. Everybody's got a name here." And I was like, "Yeah, okay." And so they go, "How about being Stormin' Donnie Storms?" And I was like, "That's fucking stupid." And then I ended up having to be Stormin' Donnie Storms for a minute.
I'd forgotten that you were in the plane.
Yeah, I was in a plane. I love that.
Because Dean, our producer, was in the plane. For that,
it was
bit.
Cool. We got to follow in his footsteps, and I modeled it. He was up using this $150 to $200 an hour toy.
Yeah.
You know, hey, let's fly over here and look at this water tower. Yeah. Forget these accidents, and that's what we were doing.
That's what it turned into.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were very just funny when
goofing around and having fun in a plane.
I completely forgot Skywanker, because one of the guys on the show was Wank.
Wank, and so they made Wank you switch. O'Brien. Did you Wank have to switch O'Brien. When you came over there?
Well, they didn't want me to be Don Stuck.
Oh.
For some, I don't know why. There's many decisions made around here that I didn't understand. But, you know, who are you going to? I'm just a DJ, so I can't argue.
Is this the guy with the car name that made you change your name?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm like, me and Jimbo are the only people that actually like him.
Are you serious?
I kind of like him. He's all right. I play poker with him and stuff. He's a dork. He's got sweater vests and Argyle and, you know, and
wrestling shoes.
Paisley shirt. And tucks in his Colts jersey. He tucks his Colts jersey up. Mm-hmm. That says it all.
I'm going to let our off-the-air podcast listeners decide if the guy's a jerk or not. The name he used was Edsel Ferrari. Okay? Now, you get back to me.
Christy one time said, he goes, my name on the air is Edsel Ferrari. And she goes, I'm not fucking calling you Edsel Ferrari right in front of everybody.
See, it's a really awful car, and it's a really cool car. See?
Yeah, yeah. When she said it, it wasn't just joking around.
Be like,
no. She meant it.
I miss that Christy, because Christy's so much more reserved now that she has kids and stuff.
I know. She's around every now and then.
Yeah, yeah. I just saw her in the hallway.
Well, that's hilarious. I love that.
Yeah. I love Christy. Our birthdays are kind of the same, too. She's got a big one coming up, and I do, too.
No, she's past her big one.
Is it already happened?
Yeah, yeah. A couple of years ago.
Oh, no. Well, her birthday's coming up.
But the day.
I know, but the big one. He has a big one coming up.
Yeah, my 50th birthday's coming up on July 20th.
Okay.
What are you doing?
I don't know. A bunch of stuff. I got all these things everybody wants to do. I want to be in a bass tournament. I've never fished in a bass tournament in my life, and there's a bass tournament on the 20th of July at Eagle Creek.
No kidding.
Yeah, so I think...
You in a bass tournament. Jeez, how hard is that to get? Call somebody, Jason.
If you got the entry fee, you're in.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
You know? But I want to go on a cool boat. I've got a boat. But
do they have boats?
You don't remember. I have a boat, but it's the USS Uncle Bob. It's a 1983 it's a 1983 Sears fiberglass bass boat.
Have you been on the USS Uncle Bob?
It can't be roughed up too much.
No.
Can't rough it up very much. Yeah? It'll leak, yes.
When I drive by his house, I see it.
It's there.
It's there.
Yeah. My Uncle Bob got me fishing when I was younger, and it's a memorial to him. I was going to name it.
Oh, that's nice.
I was going to name it after my ex-wife, Veronica. But I looked at the boat and I said, this boat is so ugly, you can't name it after a woman. You know?
That's polite. And especially.
I thought that was going to go
a
whole
other way. I thought it was
going to
go the other direction. And I'm really impressed.
I'm relieved and happy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm relieved, but a little disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah. The big birthday coming up.
Yeah. There's so many things. And I don't drink anymore. That sucks. I mean, everybody, I've been sober for almost 9 months, and people are like, how is it? And I go, it's awful. It's everything you can imagine it would be. It just sucks. It sucks totally. But, you know, I was, you know, I drank 3-4 fifths of whiskey alone a week by myself. And so you got to not be doing that.
Well, it, the thinking is you'd drink with somebody if they were there, right?
Yeah, I would.
But nobody was with you.
But nobody was. So you're not technically drink. Never mind.
Who wants to? Who doesn't want to be around a guy that drinks 4 full fists of whiskey a week alone?
That's by themselves.
I mean, what kind of personality problems would this guy have?
So you mentioned something about the music scene. You also have a band that's been together for how long?
Long time.
For a long time.
I started trying to make a little pocket change off of it in 1979, and it's been doing well ever since. We've been okay. And Rockin' Ralph, who was on Q95 for a long time, Roxy on the X, these are radio stations in Indianapolis, if you're listening far away, she's been my singer since 1994. And we just, you know, I did a show with her the other night. We're still out there here and there. I put a big price tag on it so it weeds out the bullshit.
Oh, sure.
You know? So I can, you know, I can go out and do one or two shows a month and make what I was making, you know, for 3-4 shows a week.
So how does someone get a hold of you if they want the band to come out?
Donstuck.com.
Donstuck.com. That's easy.
I used to have the Don of Rock. .com. I couldn't believe it was available, which it probably won't be available in the next 5 minutes. Right. Because but I let it go. I don't know. I just figured Donstuck.com was simple. But the Don of Rock was pretty awesome.
That is good.
You've probably, you can't even estimate how many shows you've done.
No.
Hundreds, if not a few thousands, whatever.
I've done open stages. I've done house gigs. So that would be 4 and 5 nights a week. My first gig, I was 16 years old. I was doing five nights a week. I quit high school when I was 16 because I was making $300 a week in a band. My dad was like, "You can't fucking quit high school." And I was going, "It's 1979. I go, "I'm making $300 a week." And he went, "Eh, yeah.
Maybe
okay.
You can quit."
Yeah, okay. Because you see, a lot of people bust their ass for that. But that's busting ass. It was a start at 9 o'clock in the evening and be done at 3 in the morning. So 6 45-minute sets when you're 16 years old. It makes you good real fast.
Yeah,
right.
And that's what I was going to say. Of the thousands of gigs you've done, I've only seen you once.
Yeah,
but and
it's
I did
not very good.
No. I you know,
all very disappointed.
You know, I don't want to lump you in, but you're a typical DJ. You have a great personality. You know, you know music, but I never knew DJs to be able to play. And
also,
the one time I saw you, I'm like, he is shredding it.
All right.
Yeah.
I've never seen you play, but I've heard you're incredible.
Yeah,
it's really, very good.
I've gotten that very stereotype over the years. Oh, he's a disc jockey with a band. It was the music that got me to DJing.
Right.
You know,
I
was
the
able
opposite.
To,
yeah.
One of my, it may be my best day of my life was surrounding that band, this building, and the Bob and Tom show. I can get to it. I had to go introduce Hart.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to, I think they were at Clues Hall. So I went to introduce Hart. So I go backstage, meet Hart. This is in like 1991 mm-hmm. or two. So I go, I meet Hart. I go on stage. Hey, I'm Don Stuck from Q95. Here's Hart. They're coming on in a minute. So I met Hart. I sit in the front row and watch Hart for about half the set. Then I go play in my own band from 10 until 1, and then I had to leave my own gig and run to Q95 and do my overnight show, which Q95 had just been voted rock station of the country, in the entire country, station in the country.
Rolling Stone magazine.
And then my idols, the Bob and Tom show, would come in and relieve me. So my day was meet Hart, introduce them, watch them from the front row, go do my own band gig, then come to the number one rock station in the country and do my show, and then hang out with Bob and Tom for a split second, then go home and take a nap. It was the best fucking day I've ever had in my life.
That's awesome.
I don't know if it's going to be topped. I don't know if that can be topped. That's just a damn good day.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Now, were you on the cover with them?
No.
Oh.
No, I wish. I just got here. I got here in 90, and...
Okay.
There were some sales guys, you know. There were some
on the cover?
There were sales guys, Pam Farron, old Pam Farron.
Ace and Jay were on it.
Ace and Jay, and Bob and Tom, Christy and me, Dog.
I still have it.
You still have it.
I got it.
I still have it. Yeah, I still have it.
Everybody was skinny and they had hair.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Dorn's on it. He's a sales guy here, or used
was
to be.
Tom?
I think. Danny O'Connor, I know for a fact, is on it. Danny's
I don't
on
know.
It. Is Danny not on it?
That was the weirdest. No, I don't think Danny's on there.
There might be
something inside.
Oh, maybe
but the cover, I think, was all jocks.
Yeah.
That not to
was,
look at.
That
That's
was,
crazy.
That was not a. That was not a fun photo shoot.
Why?
Oh, yeah.
It was...
there was personality conflicts in
that
photo.
Yeah, there was... Tom was being difficult that day.
Really?
And yeah, he was going through a lot of personal stuff at that point. And he walks in and he goes, is there a hair person available? And we're all like, not really.
It was nice that he could still ask that.
Oh, yeah, at that point he could. Yeah,
at that point.
And but he was just all nervous about this other thing that even on the podcast I remember what it was, but I won't go into it right now. But he was just a mess, and so he took it out on whoever was running the photo shoot. So, but yeah, wait, that was a fake rock, I think.
Could you imagine doing that cover again now? They would go, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, that's Chick McGee. And they're like, no fucking way, that's the same person.
No, because I've got my porn star mustache.
Yeah, you still.
And your horrible glasses.
My horrible glasses.
Have you ever seen anyone get so much better looking with age?
Me.
Yeah.
Well, no, that men do. It just happens.
It does. See, it does happen.
Chick's got the gray
especially,
going.
Yeah. Especially for my, I don't know what it is, my dad. And my son, I think, is going to go through
the same
thing.
His dad was smoking ass hot.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Okay, seriously.
In a weird, like, Dahmer kind of way. Yeah.
No, she's right.
It's true.
He was a good-looking guy.
Killer, yeah.
But you too, if Chick, you let your hair grow out, or Don, you got yours cut.
Oh, I know.
You guys could be brothers.
The mini-me thing.
Pretty
that's,
close.
Absolutely.
The old mini-me thing.
Yeah. We were walking down the hallway one day, and I had a Hawaiian shirt on, and so did he, which is the DJ uniform.
That's right.
And we were kind of standing next to each other saying something, and somebody went, God, what is this? You're mentally
mini me.
Yeah. Well, they said I was some kind of retarded little brother. And I hate to say the R word again because the R word's supposed to be going away. Now.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Mentally challenged.
Thank you. Yes. I just.
But Don, you kind of have the Charles Manson thing going, right?
I get that once a week.
Yeah.
I seriously, they go, God,
you know
about
what?
Charles
now that
Manson.
You say it, yeah,
I get it once a week.
It's the eyes, really.
And
yeah.
the swastika I don't have.
No,
they haven't
that's
put
good.
That
it's
on
out.
Yet.
Let's not
right.
do
totally
that.
Do that for
Halloween.
Something.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The problem is being photographed with a swastika ever.
Yeah, it's
Tom
never
told happened. Me once, he goes, don't get photographed doing something that looks funny at the time
right.
that'll come back 18 years
that's
from
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Like, then all of a sudden you're Paula Deen.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you or did you not put a swastika on your face? Well, it was for a Halloween thing. That's a yes, Your Honor.
Yes. Yeah,
and so, but I get this Charles Manson thing, I just tell everybody. I said, yeah, I look like him, but I don't act like him.
So, that's the important part.
Yeah,
I've also repurposed one of your old jokes.
Oh, good.
With the Charles Manson thing. I always say, you know why Charles Manson quit drinking whiskey? Because it was making him mean. But then people are scratching their head about it. And I was going, well, he's kind of mean by design. And
see,
that's the joke. And
whiskey
it didn't work. It was an old Hitler joke.
Hitler, right?
Yeah.
So those jokes are fine.
That was the best.
Yeah, so all this time on the road with the band, you must have some groupie stories, some crazy band gig stories.
That goes back to the I'll put my face in anything when I'm drunk.
Oh,
yeah. We one that comes to mind is a place in Kokomo.
Hip Hugger.
No, it was a bar we played. We've been there.
Yeah.
When you go, like you beat.
Hip Hugger.
Yeah. When you go, we I found that you could make more money staying away from Central Indiana. I mean, being Marion County.
Mm-hmm.
Marion
right.
County is the seat of the state. If you stay in the surrounding counties or the surrounding counties that are surrounding the surrounding counties,
right.
that's where the money is because you can't get the good bands out there, and they'll pay you a little bit. And they always book you for two or three nights. So you end up needing a place to stay that you don't want to pay for, which would be somebody's house, a girl or somebody anyway. So I knew this girl in Kokomo, and she'd show up to the gigs, and she was raring to go. She was all in, and I'm drunk, and she's... And she's 6 foot tall, by the way.
Oh, my
I've
gosh.
Had an inordinate amount of 6 foot tall girlfriends. And people are go, why do you do this?
And you are?
5'4".
Okay.
5'5 with shoes on, chick. 5'5 with shoes on. But 5'4", I
hence
think.
Hence the mini me.
Okay, yeah, right, whatever. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And so we're, I'm popped. She's wanting to do whatever.
Right.
And it's on break. And we go in the men's bathroom. Yeah, and being a 6 foot tall girl, she's not a waif. She weighs a little bit, and so we get out of those drawers, as they say. My old Gibson SG, I used to call it a blue jean crowbar. It pops them right off, baby. Pow! So we go in the bathroom, and I set her up on the sink. The sink collapses. Oh, the water spray. Yeah.
No
She's
way.
On the floor. Porcelain sink breaks. There's water spraying everywhere. She's throwing her Bobby Brooks back on, and we run out there, and we go, I don't know what happened.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. And so, in the end, I didn't get any because of the sink collapse.
So, I thought you were going to say that made it even hotter, and it was like being in a shower or something.
It was kind of hot, but... You know, on the other hand, when you're that far away from home, you don't want the bar owner to not pay you.
Sure.
Because most of us then were, you know, we had enough gas money to get home if we got paid.
Right.
So, yeah, and then we tore up his bathroom.
So but you're saying you're not paying in advance, huh?
I am these days. Okay. You know, if there's any question, it's up front, yeah.
So, besides Ralph, who's in the band now?
Vincent Swango is the bass player, and or Tim Messersmith, who's been with me since like 1990. You know Tim. You would know him if you saw him.
I would know him if I saw him.
Yeah, he's been around a lot. And every time Tim runs into Tom Griswold, they talk about the bass riff and Smoke on the Water being the best bass riff of all time. You know, Tom goes, that's it. He sees him. He'll walk over. Yeah, that's the best bass riff. Can you do that? And it's like, yeah, it's dun, 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 dun. Yeah, it's not the best bass riff of all time. It's very neat, Tom, but it's not the best. Not the best bass riff of all time.
It is very neat, but somewhat repetitive.
Yes. Simple's better. Simple's better. Yeah. And Vincent's our main guy in the band because Tim has been playing with Larry Crane a lot.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And Larry's doing a new album right now, Beatles things, I believe, over at Static Shack.
Yeah. So Tim, over the other day. Yeah. Larry Crane's getting better gigs than I do. So Tim's been playing with him. Yeah. So, and I'm kind of a greedy bastard and I book the gigs and take most of the money.
Right.
And so he didn't like that either. So he can make a little bit more and better gigs. And, you know, I don't play as much because I'm too old and I don't want to mess with it that much. If I play Larry Crane money, I would be out every day.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then we have Beckett Weir, who is the drummer, and he's in every band in the city. And he's the coolest dude. He's a black guy. He looks like Lenny Kravitz, and the chicks go bananas over him. You bring him in, and they're like, who's that? And I'm like, damn, Beckett, say some white girls for us, man. You can't even talk to any girls when he shows up. He's got some dreads, and he puts these aviator glasses. Like, I put these aviator glasses on, and I really look like Charles Manson. He puts them on, and they just start throwing their clothes at him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But Beckett's the best. He's a really good
dude. So where's your next gig?
Yeah,
she's looking for Beckett, I think.
No kidding. Yeah. I'll bet. He'd like you. Damn.
That's the joke. I only attract minorities.
I would not doubt that for a couple of reasons. I can understand that because if I know my minorities, I know they're gonna dig you.
Yes.
Without revealing too much, and I know you've had relationships through your years.
Yeah.
Was there a moment where Don Stuck couldn't lose when he went out at night? You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. I'm not trying to be a dick about it
home
at all.
Run. No, I'm just
He was. Just say that you were in the same boat at one point. I know you're not now.
You're 27 years old, and your dick gets hard when the wind blows.
There you go.
Yeah.
And someone's there waiting for it.
At one time in my life, the only reason I answered the phone at Q95 in the middle of the night was to meet women.
Yeah.
I didn't even answer the phone, you know. And that wasn't a long period. I was just checking out chicks because I was brand new at it and trying to find the girls. But I discovered the listeners being... just a better deal. Connecting with them on a level. If I answered the phone, I'd spend a few minutes with everybody that I talk to.
Right.
And care, you know, I want Led Zeppelin. Oh, awesome song. Just, you know, to kind of help grassroots. When you're doing overnight, you got to do anything to get your name out. Like mess with Tom's headphones so he'd bitch about it. That's stupid. Fucking Don Stuck and tear up my headphones and I get here and there's pizza boxes everywhere and, you know, so he'd gripe.
Oh, I remember the pizza boxes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, speaking of a good story, tell the clacker story. You too.
Oh, you threw my clacker. I had those since I was a kid, chick. I'm still mad about that.
You thought I was genuinely upset or something. I don't know. Yeah.
But be honest, you were probably
a little irritated.
You were annoyed with it.
So what happened?
No, he...
The 1970s toy, the clack, 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 the balls.
They're...
On a stick and you switch...
No, they're on
hard plastic
strings.
Acrylic balls on there, like a foot... foot string, and you if you move this middle of them up and down, they'd clack together and...
Yeah. They're
and
a 70s toy.
Properly, you would, So
were annoying. For the operator, they're fun. I'm sorry. They're fun for the operator.
That's true. He was having a great time. He's down the hall. He's down the hall. Doing that and working with the radio station down there. I'm on the Bob and Tom show at the other end of the hall.
Yeah.
And You were being real good about when our on-air light would come on, you'd stop.
Yeah.
But the one time, or maybe it wasn't even when the on-air light, you were doing it, and then that might have been irritating.
I'll kill him!
It went like that. it was kind of like that.
I don't know how you left them or whatever, but I
don't remember how you got them.
I don't know how
me.
I got a hold of them.
I think you grabbed them out of my hand.
I think you did. Yeah, that was probably what.
And then you threw them in the woods!
Our stations are out in the middle of nowhere, and I just happened to toss them out the back door, and they ended up out in the woods. But you got him back.
He grabbed them from my hand and threw them. It was a move.
Yeah.
I can't show you how he did it, but he walked up to me, grabbed them from my hands, threw them out the door, spun to the right, and was back in the studio before I could even know what happened. And I was yelling at him when the door closed.
I go,
"Chick, I've had this since I was a kid." And the door closed, and you don't go in the Bob and Tom studio and yell at someone.
Don, I'm such a man of peace now. I have no idea.
Well, I am too. I'm a lot different now, too. Maybe we like each other better now.
I don't see why we wouldn't get along now. I'll come out to a band gig.
Let's do it.
Done. I'll introduce you. I'll only charge you $800.
That's all I make. Now, at the time, there were a few incidences of people coming into the studio that didn't need to be in the studio and start talking and hanging around.
That was a weird time.
I remember Bob saying, if that cunt comes in here again, she's fired.
You know who it is. I have to count that one, right?
I think so.
What's that?
I don't know. I think congratulations, you're the first to say that word.
Let me see. That's another one.
You're not talking about this one?
That's another one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, at that time. Yeah, okay. Never mind. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
There's a few of them actually.
Okay,
yeah. But yeah, I think Bob said that.
Let's start a list.
It was a weird.
Was Bob going through his? Okay.
Everybody was going through something.
Well, the thing is, though, he was right about it. The incidents that I remember that were the worst shouldn't have happened.
Just people coming in.
Yeah, this person shouldn't have been in the studio going, "Hey, what are you guys doing? Mm-hmm. Oh, we're just on a nationally syndicated fucking show. What are you doing?" So you're just down here killing time, right? Why don't you sit down and talk to us for a while? So
that's funny.
It was kid gloves then.
That was a nerve-wracking time when the syndication first started, and
you weren't here for it, but that's cool.
You were not here.
Hang on
when
a
it started.
When it started January 1st of '95. No, I wasn't here, but I was back in July of '95.
Yes, you were.
So I wasn't here for 6 months. Mm-hmm.
Got rid of that Gunner guy real quick.
That 98 that 98 to 01
Gunner may
was
have gotten
rough.
Rid of himself.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt a little bit of that.
Hey, we could go into that.
He's annoying. I had to sit with him for two years.
Yeah, for 2 years you had a show, Stuck in Gunner, on X103, which is the...
Stuck in Gunner.
That's what it was, right?
Yeah, Marty was coming up. Marty Bender, that we were talking about earlier, came up with all sorts of contraptions and names for...
Oh, the microwave thing?
No, that was famous. The names. He was Bender, Rump, and Gunner, Stuck in a Rump, and Gunner, and he came up with all these great names.
The morning show he was on, Marty was on in Cincinnati. The reason he's named Bender is Eddie Fingers was on doing mornings by himself.
Yeah,
here he comes.
And he wanted... Bender fingers. There it is.
Well, and on one social media type AIM instant messenger, whatever, Marty's name was Marty Bender Over.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's his. I think that's one of his favorite things. Wordplay.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things too.
No, but anyway. Your show really with Gunner. I know it.
Hello.
Yes.
Your show with Gunner, Chicks. You know. Arch nemesis, whatever you want to call him.
The guy that's waiting for Chick to have a heart attack and die.
No, it's Gunner. Yeah. Gunner saying it.
Yeah.
But you guys were doing a fun local morning radio show.
It was a great show. It was a
good
show.
Would you say that was probably the most fun you had day to day?
When me and Gonzo and Bo were together and Jessica was there.
Yeah.
It's neck and neck. Me and Gunner, it was more difficult. It was there. We were getting pressure from corporate.
That
we were
was
getting,
the issue,
you know.
Yeah.
So, but it was. It's a coin toss, probably.
But you were the last show on X.
Yeah,
morning show.
Their morning show that.
What
had
do you think
fun.
Of that, Don? You're on in Shelbyville now, and it's a local afternoon show. I mean, they have a morning show though too, right?
They do.
I mean, but is that and sadly, I think the local morning radio show, and you know, I don't have any room to talk because we're syndicated, and we're in Indianapolis, and. I'd like to be more local on our show.
I almost know you're telling the truth. I know you're telling the truth because I've done both, and it's you want to talk about what's going on around the corner from me.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. But I think for whatever reason, I don't know if those days will ever come back.
I think they will. I think that some of the bigger companies are going to implode in on themselves over the next few years, and then all those stations that they own are going to trickle back into local ownership. I don't think it's going to be as great as it used to be, but it'll be better.
I think so, and I think it goes back to what's hip now is being local, and that's going to come back. That includes morning radio. I really think that there is a market for it, and if you can get it, do it now.
You know, I don't want to say that I don't love syndicated radio, and because that's how I've made a decent living for the past 15 years, but I understand. I certainly understand the mentality that if I'm a local radio listener, I want to hear what's going on in Indianapolis or Cincinnati or Minneapolis or Fargo, North Dakota. But I don't know. It's just so hard to
make a living at it.
Yeah, that's
true. And I think, too, I think it's different for your generation because you guys came up from local radio. That's where you started.
I remember them.
You started in local radio.
The nicest compliment that the Bob and Tom Show ever got was, I forget who it was, but they said it was an R&R. The radio, it was a radio industry magazine. Well, it still is, I guess.
Yeah.
And they said the best thing about the Bob and Tom Show is if it's going on in Indianapolis, it's on the Bob and Tom Show. You know about the Colts or the race or Carb Day or whatever
it
would be.
And they still do that.
And we still try to do that, sure. But I think
it's just a smaller window.
Yeah, and our critics probably would jump on that and go, well, they're just snotty and awful and distant. But that's certainly not the case. I mean, nowadays you can do the show on the moon. I mean, we wouldn't have to be here, but we all love living here.
Yeah,
you
could have left Indianapolis a long time ago.
And I lobbied hard for Honolulu.
Yeah,
nobody.
No, we do the show at 1 a.m. No. Blah blah blah.
In your show's defense, you would probably have done yourself a favor to get to one of the coasts. Then probably 50% of your guests more would be in the studio face to face than on the phone, which is always better.
Yeah, probably.
But I think, cost of living.
Everything.
But that's what makes you feel like, that's what people who don't necessarily know that you're Indianapolis, you're still their morning radio show. You're still their local morning radio show, whether you're syndicated or not.
People see me at the CVS all the time.
Right. There's Chick McGee! Look, he's getting a Kotex for some reason or another.
He's buying those Kotex again.
I see.
Did you ever have a problem buying Kotexes for the wife or whoever? When they would go, I need these.
Let me tell you something.
No, he's never had a problem.
Never had a problem. Somebody, whoever it might be, could have texted me and said, hey, here's a picture of what I need.
I did it often. I texted him the picture.
Into the CVS and line the picture up with the box and march my little ass right up to the cash register. Never had a problem.
Yeah, that's good.
My dad always said that he would buy them for whomever, and he would say, well, they know they're not for me.
At
least you'd hope they know they're not for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't go up there going, hope these fit.
Who knows what your dad's into?
That's true. Yeah. So true. But you know what? I wanted to revisit that. You mentioned your dad earlier, and your dad was a prominent business owner in Indianapolis.
Yeah, it was the number 3 independent oil company in the state of Indiana ever.
Yeah.
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 So we had
oil
Stuck's
money.
Best
Buku
Oil.
Buku money, for a while.
What was it called? Stuck's what?
Stuck's Best Oil Company. It was Stuck's Horse Feed Nice in the teens. Went to Stuck's Coal and Oil around, the ice went away when refrigerators were invented, so I went to Stuck's Coal and Oil, heating with coal and oil around the end of World War II or in that area, and then they lose the coal because that's bad on your lungs and just a number of reasons, and I went to Stuck's Best Oil Company in heating and air from the late 60s, mid-60s, I guess, on until he sold it to Marathon. Marathon came in and says, we can't have you in here competing, so you'll get bought up by us. You'll spend the next 5 years golfing with clients and eating lunch, and here's a check. And he went, okay. And that was 1990, and he's been retired and now passed away.
I did not know that story.
Yep. Third largest independent oil company in the state. And so it was nice because then you didn't have a credit score or things like that to deal with. He knew the president of the bank, and he'd say, God, I got this thing. Can I get like $30,000 deposited in my checking account? And they'd go, yeah, that's it. And it would be in there.
The same thing I do. It's unbelievable.
It's weird. I've got this thing I'm doing this weekend. I need $30,000.
I need $30,000.
Going to Atlantic City.
Yeah.
I'll probably have it when I get back.
About a marker.
But yeah, so he was, and he would love the cuss count that you have on the station, by the way. It's too bad he's not here. He would apply for the job to keep the tally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your memories of him? I mean, did he give you the freedom that you could quit school and, you know, he doesn't sound like the kind of dad that would have approved of it, I guess, if he was that shrewd of a businessman.
He wasn't excited about it the second I told him about it, but then the economics of it, it's 1979, and right. A 16-year-old can make $300 right. a week right. playing a guitar. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, all right.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah, no, people were working 50 hours a week for that kind of money. And excise, nobody cared about that back then, you know?
Right.
Excise, who cares? Stay away from the bar, that's all, you know?
Right.
Yeah, don't go up and sit at the bar, being 16 years old, and you could go wherever you want. And he was the most ruthless guy, but the fairest. I don't even know if I can tell these stories.
No, you can. As honest as you want to
and
be.
Right.
Yeah.
He would tell me things. He was a drinker. He's, you know, mm-hmm. you know, part of his eulogy that I delivered was, you know, he was about vodka.
And it was probably, if I could stay on a serious note, it was probably one of the best eulogies I'd ever heard Don deliver at his dad's funeral.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
The funeral home guy said that because I have to deliver all the eulogies for my family. Everybody that dies, I'm stuck with it.
Yeah.
You know, my mom.
Oh, you're stuck.
Yeah, exactly. So
stuck with the eulogies.
My dad would say things like, if you have some young girl want to throw some pussy on you, you take it. He'd be drunk at 4 in the morning, and you'd be 16 years old, and that'd be the kind of thing he would tell you.
Mm-hmm. I've never had it
thrown
on me.
It's usually pretty logical.
Very. Straight up. And then another time, he was drunk. We'd just come in from a band gig. I was divorced, so I was living at my parents' house at age 33 years old.
Nice.
And my mom loved it. She folded all my laundry, and she'd wake me up, what do you want for breakfast? And it was just great, you know. He comes walking in at 4 in the morning. I'm there with your uncle.
Yes.
And my sons are over for the weekend. Because I was in a band, I didn't have custody of my sons, so they stayed with my crazy ex-wife at the time. And he walks in, sits down, he's drunk, he can hardly talk, and says, I've got Adolf Hitler in my basement. I captured him in Vietnam, which he was never in Vietnam.
Right.
And he says, I'm keeping him in the basement, and I'm not feeding him. So it was stuff like that that you got. But he was seriously, he sounds like a maniac, but he was no nonsense, and he would say exactly what he was on his mm-hmm. mind. He had the sailor would be embarrassed from his mouth, you know, the cussing. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he didn't. He was very fair, though. When it came to money, he was ruthless, but he was fair.
Mm-hmm.
So he helped a lot of families. He was loyal.
Yeah. Do you still have that voicemail that we played on the morning show?
I'll bet it's in the computer.
Oh, I bet it is.
It's still here in the computer. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Don's dad called your cell phone or your home phone?
He called your uncle's phone.
He called Uncle John's phone.
Yes, he called Uncle John's phone.
Oh, my God.
And it was about a yard sale that they were having. My grandmother passed away. The yard sale needed to be dealt with. He needed some help beyond what I could help him with. And so John was going to go over there and do some help. And he called John, and John didn't answer the phone, and he left the voice message on the phone.
And it's...
It's got more requests than anything on the
it's
X.
It's hilarious.
Ever.
I could listen to it over and over and over again.
It would be an S&G or Stuck and Gunner bits. You're finding it, maybe?
You have plenty in here still?
Don, I know. Don's dad's phone call, something
voicemail,
like that.
There was a voice.
Don's voice,
voicemail.
Dad's voicemail, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got it at home, but it's still in there, I guarantee you.
It's hilarious.
Gunner sent it to me the other day. It was the most requested thing.
Are you finding it?
Ever.
This could be it.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
You've reached the inbox of
Don Stuck.
No.
Don Stuck.
No.
Has one new message.
Hey, Donald. This is Peyton Manning.
I don't think that's
not it, but I like my Peyton Manning phone call.
Are a professional football player. It's probably not going to happen. If I were you, I'd just buy some bigger shirts.
End of messages.
Nice.
That's funny.
That was very funny, Don. How'd
Peyton.
You get Peyton to do that?
It was the Gunner found it and just put my name into it.
Okay.
Hi, this is Peyton Manning. I heard you're trying to lose weight and get rock hard abs like me. Well, it's probably not going to happen. You should just buy bigger shirts.
I don't know if Peyton had rock hard abs.
I don't either.
Or has rock hard abs.
Not anymore.
I don't know about that one.
It's probably in there somewhere, but it may take you forever to find it. It's S&G or Stuck and Gunner and Don's phone call. It is well worth the wait if you find it. He calls the answering machine. He can't figure out how to hang the phone up.
Oh, yeah.
This has
and happened
a lot.
And he starts yelling at Don's mom.
Yelling and screaming, just bitching. Yeah, it's so funny.
Well, now we have to find it or revisit it another episode, maybe.
Yeah, we can find it. If you can, I can bring it in next time.
So what's going on in Shelbyville in the afternoon? It's what you've always done on the radio?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah? I told him it's a hip music station, and I said I'm going to come in and do exactly what I used to do. It's not going to fit. It's not going to work. The consultants aren't going to know why it works, but we're just going to do that. And I'm trying to lose 5 pounds because last week I was at the Shelby County Fair broadcasting live every day.
Oh, God.
And so all the vendors have been a constant stream of elephant ears and food. And then by the end of the week, these mad scientist cooks are showing up with stuff, and they remind me of concentration camp doctors. They have this dream in the middle of the night. They go, I'm going to write that in my dream journal, and we'll make it and feed it to humans.
We're going to deep fry it, and then, yeah.
Deep fried watermelon.
Deep fried watermelon, deep fried. They took Kool-Aid and wrapped dough around it somehow and deep fried that.
Yuck.
The weirdest thing that was brought to us that ended up actually being amazing was a cheeseburger. Not a burger, had cheese, Texas toast, jalapenos, bacon, and peanut butter. And you're like, that's not good.
Wow.
But we cut it up into squares, and the five people ate it, and everybody liked it.
Cool.
Do you remember when we deep-fried White Castles?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were deep-frying shit way before a lot of people.
Edsel Ferrari got mad.
Yes.
Yeah. The girl that used to come on after us walked in and was like, what is this? No. Oh, my God. What's wrong with you guys? You're idiots. And then he went in and told Scott, and then Scott, Edsel Ferrari came in. Color. What are you doing? What are you guys? Scott sounded exactly like her when we did it. And then they got Mettler involved, which is Dan Mettler, who was the engineer.
And you don't want to fuck with Dan.
You do not want to fuck with Dan.
And Dan will tell you, don't fuck with me. Fuck.
Dan will tell you, and Dan will tell you not. He will tell you those very words.
Exactly right. With me.
Yeah,
exactly.
And so we got White Castle, the deep fried White Castles in the studio, and it pissed everybody off.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
I was sitting there going, seriously?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and Tom were Sieg Heiland in the parking lot back in the 80s, and we're getting yelled at for deep frying. Deep frying stuff.
I had to take a deposition seminar to learn how to give a deposition after that.
And you got a day off or something, too, right?
I got a day off.
Well,
3 days off, I think. Yeah. No,
that somebody, day that we were deep frying stuff, I was right outside the Bob and Tom old door. We were on that side.
Right.
And I was standing there, and there was just shit everywhere, and this tabletop deep fryer and all this and whatever. And I'm standing out there by myself because they're on the air, and Bob comes outside and stands in the doorway to smoke, and he goes, so you're getting a college credit for this? That was it.
And you said, yep.
Yep.
Bob always had a way with one sentence.
With one sentence.
I was coming back from a fencing lesson. And I liked fencing. I liked the sword thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to Christy.
Were you in your costume?
No, I'm sorry. I was talking to Christy about it.
Okay.
It was at the same place that she went to work out.
Yeah.
The Jewish Center?
Yeah.
Okay. And
that's weird. And she's Catholic.
Right. Yeah, I know. It was odd. You know, they're fencing, and there's Christy and Jews. It was weird. But
lots of money.
Yeah, maybe that's it. A lot of Mercedes. But so I'm talking to her about it. She goes, oh, that place is great. I love it. And Bob's standing there, just like what you were doing, smoking a cigarette and listening.
Right.
And he goes, fencing lessons? And I go, yeah. And he goes, like with swords? And I go, yeah. And he goes, well, I guess that'll come in handy if somebody attacks you with a sword.
There you go.
And then I never thought about how stupid it was until he put it that way.
What about the, it just dawned on me, we haven't asked you about this yet. What about the Don Stuck pumpkin farmer and Don Stuck's pumpkin seeds? And
We
bought some at the hardware store.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we sure did.
Did you have any luck with them?
We never planted them.
She just got her first garden this year.
They're good for a couple of years.
Yeah, I put in a garden this year.
The pumpkin growing, I did not do. It's so work intensive that I didn't do them this year because of my current work status. You know, you don't want to say in between jobs, but I'm working. I love where I'm working, but they are well aware of that. You know, I'm underemployed.
Right.
So, you know, I'm still looking. You know, I'm sending out tapes and resumes all over the place.
Gotcha.
And I've gotten a lot of, me and Ace Cosby are in the same boat. Hey, you're 50? move out of town and come work here for 50. It's like, uh-uh. Right. You know, yeah. You're 50 years old. Here's 50 grand and move. Leave this town that you've built your name in for 30 years. No, we're not going to do that. So we're looking. But the pumpkins begin in March in the house under grow lights. Looks like you've got a pot operation going.
No.
It looks bad.
It looks bad.
It looks bad.
But so it's so work intensive that I just didn't know if I was going to be here.
Yeah,
I didn't know if I was going to be in state, so I didn't do it. But once I, we now know that we're pretty well locked in here. We're not going anywhere. Some things have happened, and things are going good, and so I don't think we're going anywhere unless somebody pulls up. A radio station owner pulls up with a great big wheelbarrow full of money, which I know is getting ready to happen at any second.
Heck yeah!
Yeah, that happens every day now.
Yeah,
we're not going to do it this year, but we'll be back next year.
Let's, if we can. However much you're willing to talk about, but
anything.
We talked about we've had Ace on. And we've touched on Jimmy Mad Dog Matus, and you are now in this group of legendary Indianapolis radio personalities who have been dismissed from this building.
Yeah, the Jimmy thing was the biggest bunch of bullshit ever.
Yeah.
I mean, can we just say that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, look, there's a company owns their radio stations, and it's their money, and they spend it however they want. That's fine. To dismiss Mad Dog or Ace Cosby or me, and it's in our severances that says we didn't do anything wrong, it's merely a budget cut. To not let a guy like that sign off for him just to merely disappear off the face of the earth and not say a word, say, man, thank you for 30 years of good, solid work. And that's it's in our contracts, our severance pay, that we're not being fired because we did something. Just a budget cut. To not let him sign off, not say anything other than, we feel we can do better if we go in another direction. That was how we were all dismissed. I think it's horseshit.
You think that you should have had the opportunity to go on the air and say, thanks, guys?
Yeah, I understand why they wouldn't let me do it live.
Yeah.
Or not me at all. Just say, you know, Don's not here anymore. Mad Dog's not here anymore. We love him, but he's going on to do some other things. We're going in a different direction. That's cool. But
just say
just
it. That you, like you never existed.
Yep.
Yeah. Like you're just evaporated.
Know, and not just, not me, Mad Dog most of all, and Ace.
Well, no, you're talking about Mad Dog, and obviously, you know, whatever.
We know that the manager that was here said, when they fired Mad Dog, said, I don't know why we're getting so many calls. Well, that's because you didn't grow up in Indianapolis.
Yeah,
you don't know who the fuck this
what
is.
You're doing,
yeah.
So,
and he
seriously.
Was just told to do it.
Yes, I mean, I know.
It doesn't matter. There's still a better way to handle something like that. Me and Ace, the last time Ace got fired, which is, you know, he got brought back and then he got left going. Mm-hmm. Our exit papers were in the Indianapolis Business Journal. I think we can do better without these guys.
I think a lot what the big chains and even, you know, the people that handle our show, the big show, and, well, I guess we handle this one. Anyway, no, the thing they miss is that radio is so personal to people. It really is. I mean, it's far more personal than a movie or a TV show or the evening news or because most often you're by yourself listening to the radio.
Yeah.
In your car or getting ready for work in the morning or whatever. And when these people that they've known for 25, 30 years just go away.
Disappear.
I mean,
without a word.
They can't continue to work for the rest of their lives, but there's got to be a better way.
There should be some kind of closure.
Things change. Business models, business plans change. That's fine, but come on.
That's why this podcast thing, I mean, it's, you know, that's. If it's possible, that's even more personal than being on the radio, because now they can control when they're listening to this, and it makes it very important to them.
I always thought that you know what a one percenter is with motorcycle gangs? There's 1% that are like bad guys, and the rest of them are just normal guys. I always thought that your podcast fell into the one percenter area, but it's opposite. 99% of the podcasts shouldn't be done.
Oh yeah,
they're awful.
Yeah,
they're terrible. But you have a national audience. This is something that people are going to listen to. PTI, they rebroadcast theirs in the podcast. That's a show. It's on ESPN. Tony Kornheiser. I mean, there's podcasts out there that are worth listening to. But Bill the Fish from his Broad Ripple Basement podcast. You know, I don't need that.
I've been a Bill the Fish listener.
He is good. I mean, I didn't call a guy out.
No. And she'll tell you this.
Terrible.
My closest friends will tell you this. I don't like to talk about myself very much at all. I take modesty or being humble to almost an idiotic degree. But I know what I'd like to think I know what is listenable, what people listen for. And I know our podcast is very very good.
It is.
And we're very proud of it. And
you're a one percenter.
And I'm a one percenter.
We have to go get those tattoos.
You
got to
get those patch, man.
Yeah.
Oh, is it a tattoo?
It's a tattoo. You
can get
a tattoo. It
just says 1%?
1%.
The bikers, the real bad guy bikers that are, you know, I don't want to call a club out, but guys that make a living by being a biker and all that goes with it, basically the mafia and leather, they have 1%
on their
they got a patch or a tattoo. And if you're not a 1%er anymore, you get it ground off by the back tire.
Oh.
Yes.
Whoa. Jason, other than the back tire thing, are you in?
Yes.
We'll just tattoo, get him a patch.
1%.
Yeah.
Can we just pick a hat?
How about a nice hat?
That might rile people that you don't want mad. Maybe you call it something else.
Yes.
Oh, you're a 1%er, are you? Fire up the motorcycle and let's get the back tire going. And
let's do a 0.5%.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah.
It's probably more accurate. Probably more accurate.
Yeah.
It's off the air and PTI, and that's it. That's the only ones worth listening to.
So, not to bring up a bad moment, but when you got let go, for talking with you in the halls for years, you kept going, man, I can't believe they're still keeping me around.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm sure you might even said it, that we all called you Teflon Don.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. From 96... There was 97, I guess. There was 6 or 7. It was me and Wankin O'Brien, me and Etzel, me and Nigel, me and Etzel again, me and Gonzo, me and Gonzo and Bo, me and Gunner, me. There was 9 different configurations of the morning show.
Yeah.
And you were a part of all of them.
All of them, and for like 10 years. So
That's crazy.
Or maybe it's 15 years. I don't know. But they started calling me Teflon Don. But I knew every day I was walking down the hallway in the morning, I was going, this is probably it. Today's probably the day. And the day it happened, I wasn't expecting it.
Ain't that the way it all
is? Yeah, but when I left, I stole a whole sleeve of Post-it notes. So now who got over?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The week you got let go, I was working on, I do the Bob and Tom albums, and I came in on the weekend, and you had come in to get the rest of your stuff.
Yeah.
And I literally had that little moment of, I saw you driving away going, this is the last time he's probably going to be here.
Yeah. It's a weird thing, because a lot of that's happened around here.
It was like a national tragedy in New Palestine. I know that. I called you on the way home, and I'm like,
I cried.
And it was awful.
Do they not call him
the unofficial mayor of New Pal?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Got Beach Grove, and I got New Pal. Yeah.
Awesome. I don't know much about Beach Grove, but I think New Pal, that's okay.
I definitely like New Pal better.
Yeah.
Beach Grove's getting a little greenwoodish on us there. It was funny because the social media being what it is nowadays, how it happens is, I saw our chief engineer, by the way, as I was being walked. When you get fired off the radio, you shut your microphone off, and the second you shut your mic off on the last break of the day, the door opens up, and there's the GM or whoever, hey, can I need you to come with me to the office? And you know that's the end. Mm-hmm. So
it's like a puppy going down the green mile.
You're walked out of the building.
Yeah,
not childish at all.
You have to be escorted out of the building.
I walked past, you know, some people up to the general manager's office for them to tell me, you know, I was being let go. But I passed our chief engineer, Scott Fenstermaker. He was in the break room. Yeah, and he was standing there, and he knew.
He always knows.
Yeah, he knew. So when I walk by, the GM's walking, or whatever he was, he's walking in front of me, I'm walking behind him, and I looked over at Scott when we walked through the break room, and I said, man, you should have warned me so I could have burned some vacation days first. But he wasn't in a joking mood. Nobody was that day. But back to the social media thing, when I left, I was told what's up, sat down, there was some papers to look at, I didn't sign them or anything, papers to take with me, and... Before I left, I also said, you know what? Since I'm fired, you're going to keep that guy and fire me? I won't say who.
But, we know.
Yeah.
We just talked about him.
Right. And so I was taken back to my desk, had a minute to grab some stuff, and then they put me out the door. And they didn't take my fob. I gave it back to them. I went back in and said, hey, you forgot to take this. Do you want it back? But anyway, before I got on 465, I was getting texts and stuff on Facebook. So people, it got out before I even got out of the parking lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just that fast.
Well, it was Chick's fault, really.
Well, it's okay. How in the world could this happen so fast? That was a year. That was a bad year for guys around here. Ace got it the same day I did.
Yeah.
For the second time.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well,
and no opportunity to say anything. The station should have said something. They should have said,
I never even considered that, to be honest. I didn't even think of it from that aspect.
I don't care about any of it. A business can spend their money how they want. It's up to them. It's their money to spend, fine. But to treat Mad Dog and Ace, and I'm not just saying myself, but those two especially, 30-some years, Mad Dog built that station or helped build it. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. He was a huge part of building what Q95 was and is.
Nobody was more passionate about it than
Damn right. You know? And then to toss him out the door and not say a damn word, I got to, you know, that I'm mad now. I'm mad. I'm pissed off about it. What shouldn't have, it's handled they, wrong. I don't care what their reasoning is. It was wrong. Yeah. I don't care if you got a boss telling you what to do. They should have handled it differently.
They did let Dog come around the building and say some goodbyes.
Yeah,
which
but the listeners
almost made it worse for us.
Yeah.
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 That was a terrible day.
Dog came back about 2 days later to get something. I walked out in the parking lot and he was standing next to the visitor parking sign. I goes, dude, hold on. I got a picture of him standing next to the visitor parking sign. That's where I'm parked now.
Oh. Yeah. That's the perk.
Yeah, yeah.
Geez, they probably don't know you're back here, do they?
No.
I bet they don't.
You know what? It didn't occur to me until I pulled up here, Chick, that
we're outlaws.
Uh oh.
I pulled up.
Oh, geez.
And I went, you know what? I hope I don't get a parade lap back there because I do not want to go back there.
Yeah.
There's about two people back there that I would like to say hi to, and those people I say hi to all the time.
All right, so don't worry.
You know, Matt Pelzer and you know those guys back there. That's some inside stuff, Matt. But I love about three people back there. The rest of it,
Speaking inside, was Tim the same day as you?
Yes,
no,
Tim Dennison was another.
That was October of whatever year.
Yeah, that was
right?
crazy.
October 2011.
Yes.
Yeah, the boss came to my dad's funeral, and then 3 weeks later, he fired me.
Wow.
Like I said, it wasn't his fault. I don't mind being fired or budget cutted or whatever. It was just how they did not acknowledge
what was going on.
21 years of work, in my case, 30-some years with Ace, 20, near 30 with Mad Dog. Yeah. It was horseshit. That's the only word for it. My dad would say, perfect word for that. That's horseshit. That's horseshit, horseshit, horseshit. And that should count as three cuss words.
Yep. Yes.
Well, you know what? In closing, it was just I owe this to you, in all seriousness for a second, because you invited me into this building.
Yeah. Oh, I knew you'd be good at it.
Well, thank you. And your family.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been through shit together, especially in this last couple of months.
This last couple of months have been a major bitch with the family.
Yeah,
it's just been God, and I tried my best to keep it from getting out of hand. And
you've been trying to keep it out of hand for 30-some years, man.
I know.
I mean, longer. I mean, almost 40-some years.
It is 40 years. Now I was about 6 or 7 or 8 years old. You know, this is off-air stuff.
This is off-air stuff, but this is. I just wanted to say thanks.
Oh, you too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
and as much as I like to kid you when I said that. You're responsible for me meeting her.
This is what we do. We cry on the podcast.
Do we?
Yes.
Can I cry?
Sure. I don't see how I can't get around it.
Well, if Dodd's not crying yet, I'll see if this will make him cry.
Uh-oh.
This is it!
And now it's time for Old People in Trouble.
Hey, who are you calling old?
This is my dad.
I'm talking to you, you old fart.
From the grave, motherfuckers.
That's right. Here we go. Old People in Trouble and... Well, today we take something that's very near and dear to your heart, Don. This is a message that your dad left, a friend of yours.
Yeah, they're trying to put together a yard sale. You know how complicated a yard sale can be.
Sure.
It's not, really, but... when you put old people in the mix.
When you put old people and things like phones and answering machines in the mix.
So my father's trying to make a phone call to a friend of mine to tell him to get over at a certain time to help with the yard sale that's coming up this weekend, which is it's several months old, but here it is anyway.
Let's listen in, shall we?
John, this is Don Stuck.
Yeah!
And we was wondering if you could come be over there tomorrow at noon. They need the help to set up that thing. So give me a call here at my house, 891. Hell, I don't know my own number. Anyway, I think you know it. Let me ask Jan.
That's my mom.
What's our phone number?
891.
And give me a call if you would, please. But plan on being over there at noon. Talk to you. Bye.
Here's the real Don.
God damn it. Well, everything's on a goddamn recording. No, I haven't called the other number.
Trying to hang up.
Hang it up, old man.
Oh, God.
God damn it.
That's incredible.
That's it.
Funny. Oh my gosh.
That was funny.
There's about three of those in existence. My son's ringtone is my dad trying to hang up an answering machine. He goes, "You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch." When his phone rings, it's my dad.
That's hilarious.
I just got to hear my dead mom and dad.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
It's a good day.
Yeah, they're passed away and now they're back on the radio.
That's okay, cool. DonStuck.com.
Yeah.
On the radio in Shelbyville.
Yep, got my auctioneer's license while I was off. Oh, so I'm an auctioneer too.
Gavel Auctions.
Yeah, that's been a blast.
Look that up.
And look for him at a bass tournament near you.
Yeah, July 20th is my 50th birthday, and I'm thinking I'm going to be in a bass tournament for the first time. That's why I've been working towards bass tournament fishing for years, and I'm ready.
And I'll be emceeing a DonStuck band gig at a.
Sometime soon.
Sometime very soon.
Do you still sell cars and trucks?
If we're auctioning them, but no, I'd miss that. I owned a car lot for a while.
Yeah.
When I was still working
You've
on
done
the air.
Everything.
I love it.
You're so awesome.
Well, when I got my auctioneer's license, Matt Pelzer, who does the afternoons or middays on the X, he goes, "You're a Renaissance man." I had to look up what that meant.
Like Da Vinci, only with cars and all sorts of things.
Well, I said, just like anything that turns shit green, as I said.
There you go.
All right.
Do you know the song, Don? You want to jock it up?
Quite the episode. No, this is a Bob Schneider.
Oh,
this is
Piggy. Yeah, I don't know it.
Thank you.
Thanks. Oh, this is great. Is it over?
Thank
you, Don. Yep, we're done.
Yeah, either that or we're going to cry some more. I'm not sure.
When he was 23
Thanks, Jeff.
Years
old. Thank you, Jason.
I loved it. Thanks, Don.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And that's pretty small.
Man, that's pretty small.
Good night, everybody.
Then he grew.
Number 7